Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. For joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning from David in the Psalms how the Christian should view the Word of God. The message is called The Law of the Lord, so let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 19 as we go back to basics.
The testimonies of the Lord are sure. They're certain. Everything that God has said, you can stake your life on it. It is absolutely certain. And prophecy is one of those things that reminds us of that. Now, he says the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Making wise the simple. You know, I have had the experience of meeting many people in different places in the world who come from maybe a poor background, maybe an uneducated, experience and so forth, but people who love the Lord and know His Word. And I've sat and listened to such wisdom come from these people. It astounds me. You think, boy, there's a brilliance there, but it's a divine brilliance. It's something that God's given them because they've taken His Word seriously. Wisdom is so important. We've got a lot of people in the world that are supposedly smart. We hear all the time about how smart so-and-so is and, how educated they are and where they got their education and how many books they read and those kinds of things. You hear all of this stuff, and then the decisions that they make, you think, wow. How could such smart people make such stupid decisions? But here's the reason. The reason is they don't have wisdom. They might have some knowledge, but you see, knowledge needs wisdom in order to be properly applied. And that's what they don't have. But that's the thing that God gives to His servants. He makes wise the simple. People who are otherwise simple, they're not sophisticated like that, maybe intellectually or whatever. But yet, you listen to them and wisdom flows from them. You can't improve on the wisdom of God. David, in writing the 119th Psalm, he said, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." And then he said, "I have more understanding than the ancients, because I take heed to your words." So God gives to the simple, those who take His word seriously, He gives them a wisdom that surpasses the wisdom of men. I think of many, many pastors that are being used significantly, powerfully by God in teaching His word and seeing people's lives transformed and, counseling people and so forth. Many of them not having formal educations, but just having been educated by the Lord Himself. And that amazing wisdom. God gives this wisdom. And that's what David's talking about here. He then goes on and he says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." The statutes, or you could translate that, the precepts. He says they're right, and they rejoice the heart. Obedience to God's word brings joy to life. That's what God's word does. It just brings us joy. You read God's word, and those times when you read something, and you just go, "That is so right," and it causes a rejoicing in your heart just to the rightness of it. There's that that resonating in your own soul that, man, that is right, that is true. Now, as we put ourselves in that place to just be receiving God's word, it produces in our lives that kind of rejoicing. It brings joy into our life experience. As David would also say back in the first Psalm, blessed or happy is the man or woman whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law they meditate day and night. So that's where the happiness comes from, the blessedness. Blessed is better than happy. Happy is fleeting. Happy is more emotional. Blessed is something that is deeper because it's referring to God's favor upon our lives, which of course makes us happy, but it goes beyond happiness. But the statutes of the Lord are right, and they rejoice the heart. Then he says, the commandment of the Lord is pure or radiant, enlightening the eyes. And again, many of us would know by experience what this was like. Going through life in a fog. Going through life where all of the big questions and things, it was all very dim. And then coming into contact with the Lord, coming into contact with his word, and suddenly there's this enlightenment. Everything becomes clear. We come out of the dark. We can see now what we couldn't previously see. And again, in the 119th Psalm, David said, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And that's what happens. I can think back on those years, those BC years, those years before Christ. And I was in a fog. I was in the dark. The bigger questions of life, there weren't really any answers to them. Everything was unclear. And then coming to know the Lord and getting into his word, and it's like, boom, the lights came on. I could see. That's what the word of God does. It illuminates us. It brings us into the light. It gives us the proper understanding of reality is what it deals with, of course. But then he says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Now, I have to confess that as I was looking at the passage, I was asking myself, now, why does it say the fear of the Lord here? Because it doesn't seem to fit so much with what the context, you know, because he's talking about the law of the Lord, the statutes, the judgments, the testimonies, all of these different facets of the word of God. But then he says the fear of the Lord, it seems to be a kind of a different thing. But what came to me is that the fear of the Lord is the essence of what the scriptures teach. So the law of the Lord, the testimonies, the judgments, the precepts, all of these things, they're all moving us toward the fear of the Lord. That would be the result of properly responding to the word of God, is the fear of God would develop in our lives. The fear of God is that healthy reverence and respect for God, that obedience to God. And this results in a clean or a pure life. And when he says it's clean and it endures forever, what he's talking about is that the end of the influence of God's word upon our lives is to give us the quality of life that's eternal, to give it to us right here and now on the earth. We sometimes think of eternal life just in the quantitative sense. Eternal life means it just goes on forever. That's true. But there's something more to it than that. There's a quality of life. That's what God's given us. He's given us, through having begotten us again by his word, he's given us this quality of life that's superior to anything that you can find on the earth. He's given us a superior quality of life. And I think that's what he's talking about here when he's talking about the fear of the Lord being clean, enduring forever. And then he says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. This is such an important one. The judgments of the Lord. The Lord's judgments, meaning his evaluation of things, his, you know, how God feels about certain things, what he says in regard to things. We need to understand the judgments of the Lord are true and they're righteous. Why do I emphasize this? Because today there are many people who reject the truth of the Bible, many people who challenge its righteous claims. We're living in a time when people don't seem to have any problem just saying things like, well, the Bible's not true. The Bible's wrong about that. I don't believe that. And then they got their opinion about, you know, what truth is or whatever. And so we're living in that sort of an environment. There's a very arrogant attitude against the Word of God today that would question or even deny the veracity of the Word. We hear people say things like, well, the Bible is wrong. God didn't create us. We evolved. Others say, well, the Bible is wrong. Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. There are many paths to heaven. Some say, well, the Bible is wrong. God would never send anybody to hell. I don't believe that there's such a place as hell. And if there is, God certainly wouldn't send anybody there. Not a God of love. People say these things very boldly today. Some say, well, the Bible teaches intolerance of certain behaviors and lifestyles. They would say, that's unrighteous. That's not righteous. The Bible doesn't promote righteousness. So there's a lot of hostility coming from certain segments of the culture today in regard to the Bible. A lot of challenging of its truth and of its righteous standard. He says here, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now, most people making those kinds of statements have never taken the time to honestly investigate the facts. I was listening to, at the conference that I was at yesterday, a local apologist was there, and he was telling his story of atheism before he became a Christian. And he was saying that he was absolutely certain as an atheist that the Bible was wrong, that the Bible was inaccurate, that it didn't really, you know, speak truthfully on history or geography, or, you know, just went through a list of things. He said, I knew it for sure, absolutely. And then he said this, having never read a single word of it. I was absolutely certain it was wrong and I was right. And then guess what happened? Somebody challenged him to read it. And now he's an apologist arguing for the validity of the Word of God rather than an atheist arguing against it. And this is so often the case. Because when you come into, you know, contact with the Word, you realize, man, this stuff is true. Yeah, this is true. This is the way it is. Truth, one definition of truth, is that which corresponds to reality. You read the Bible, this corresponds to reality. This is the way things really are. And there's plenty of evidences for the truth of what the Scriptures say. We talked a minute ago about prophecy. We can look at the historicity of the resurrection, for example. All of the evidence that Jesus really did die, really did rise. It's all there. And so David reminds us that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. But then he also goes on and he speaks to us about the value of God's word. He says, it is more desirable than gold. Wow. Do we think of it like that? Is the Bible your most important treasure? Is the Bible more valuable to you than your bank account or your assets? Or do we see the Bible like that? More to be desired than gold. That's what David said. More to be desired than gold. Job, you remember we studied Job's life. Job said that the Word of God to him was more precious than his food. He even went so far as to say it was more vital to him than his breath. David says it's more valuable than gold. Why do people want to be rich? Why do people seek to amass wealth to themselves? What are they looking for? Well, they're looking for contentment. They're looking for fulfillment. They're looking for happiness. But you can find millions of people that have gold, so to speak, and plenty of it, who don't have happiness. But you can't find a single person who cherishes the word of God that doesn't have happiness, blessedness. So you see, it really is more valuable than gold. It will make you happy in this life and secure you a place in heaven, neither of which money can do. Money can't make you happy, and it can't get you to heaven. You can't buy your way there. It's meaningless. But the words of God, more valuable than precious gold. He also talks about the sweetness of God's word. Sweeter also than honey dripping from the honeycomb. Hearing, believing, receiving God's word, it makes life sweet. A life is full of bitter things, isn't it? And the longer you live, the easier it is to just sort of get a bitter view of life. But the word of God, the promises of God, they'll keep life sweet. If we embrace them, if we truly lay hold of them, they will come, and even in the midst of a bitter situation, they will sweeten that thing up. I received a letter just this morning. I read it this morning before first service. And it was a lady writing from another state. She wrote to thank me for the message that I gave last month on Job. Maybe you remember the message there. We talked about Job and God coming and meeting Job and his plight and all of that. But she said to me in the letter, she said, I called you a while back on the radio. You and your wife talked to me, and it really helped me. But I didn't tell you the background. I wasn't able to go into all the details. So in the letter, she went into quite a bit of detail. And it was an unbelievable situation. 4 or 5 deaths in her immediate family in the last year and a half. Lost her job. Husband lost his job, you know, financially. Just, you know, the whole thing kind of just rug pulled out from under them. And she said she just had gotten to a point where she was becoming bitter. She said for a while she was just saying, okay, Lord, okay, all right, that's fine. Okay, Lord, I'm trusting you for this and that. And all right, Lord. And she said, you know, as things just began to stack up one thing upon another, she said finally she got to the point where she just cried out and said, God, do you hate me? What are you doing? Why are you allowing these things to happen? And she said she became bitter. And she said she, as she was lying down on a Saturday night, she said, God, unless you speak to me, I don't want to go on living. I'm just at the end. I can't take it anymore. I want out. You've got to speak to me. You've got to do something. So the next morning, she tuned in over the internet, evidently, and she heard the message. And she wrote to say that everything you said in that one particular service spoke directly into my life. And she said, it delivered me from the bitterness and brought sweetness back into my life. And then she told me the story. She said, and a few days later, I went out shopping, and she said, at the thrift store that I now shop at instead of Nordstrom's where I previously shopped. And she said, I met a gal, or I ran into somebody I knew, and she said, you know, the lady asked her how she was doing. She said, oh, you know, you don't want to know. But the lady said, no, tell me. So she said she went into this lengthy conversation with the lady in the thrift store, telling her all of the woes that she'd been through, but also telling her about how God had ministered to her. And she said as she's talking to this lady, she's noticing that it's getting quieter and quieter in the thrift store. And there's a number of people there. She said before she's done, everybody in the store is gathered around her, and they all have their arms around her. They're giving her a big hug, saying, it's going to be okay. And she said, you know, the Lord was just again encouraging me and comforting me that he is with me. But this is what the Word of God does. It brings sweetness into the bitter things of life. Life is full of bitternesses. There's no way around it. But God's Word, His promises, they will bring the sweetness. And then David goes on as we just wrap things up here. He says, "Moreover, by them thy servant is warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." The Bible's full of warnings. People think, oh, you know, God, I don't want to follow God. He wants to make my life miserable. He wants to take away the fun. He wants to keep me from pleasure and the enjoyable things of life. No, when God warns you about something, it's because He knows something about it that you don't know. You think it's fun. You think it's pleasurable. You think it's enjoyable. You think it's good. God knows it's bad. And God knows it's destructive. And God knows that it will ruin your life. So He warns us, not to prevent us from enjoying life, but to keep us from being harmed. So He's given us plenty of warnings in the Scriptures. And so there is then that promise, but the keeping of His words brings a great reward. You know, quite honestly, I can say this, and many of you could say it as well, and I don't have one single regret for obeying God in any area of my life. Nothing. I never look back and think, oh, I wish I would have disobeyed the Lord back then. You know, I don't have one regret. I got plenty of regrets about not obeying the Lord. Oh, I wish I would have, you know. But in the keeping of His commandments, there's a great reward. As we obey the Word of God, it's the greatest thing we could do. It benefits us. We get rewarded. We get rewarded here just with the joy and the blessing of God upon our lives. But then, of course, there's a day of reckoning coming, and the reward will be great then. So now, finally, David, having looked at the Word of God in this way, he says in verse 14, the final verse, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength," or "my rock and my redeemer." And that's really, I think, the appropriate response to all of this. Just acknowledging, recognizing, Lord, this is all true. It's right. Lord, your judgments are true and they're righteous. And your testimony is sure. And your law is perfect. And your statutes are right, and your commandments are pure. Lord, it's all true. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. In other words, Lord, help me to conform to this, so all of this blessedness that you're talking about here will be my experience. It's a simple thing. Obedience brings blessing. Disobedience doesn't. You want to be blessed or not? It's that simple. Just take God's word to heart, take it seriously, commit yourself to meditating on it and living it out, and you're going to find the truth is, blessed is the man or the woman whose delight is in the law of the Lord.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Brodersen. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called "The Law of the Lord," and the resource number is OBB 538. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.